Let's do this. Welcome back. Relatively Football. One brother, one sister. Lots and lots and lots of football.
Two hands, four hands, Steph Holton's shoulder. There's so many things going on.
A lot going on. Oh my WSL. What a second weekend of English women's football. It's good to be back. I am Theo Lloyd Hughes, sharing the microphone booth across the Atlantic Ocean with my sister Flo. Flo, let the people know that you're here.
I'm here. I'm ready. What a great time to be alive. Chaos.
What a great time to be alive. Yeah, we're seconds, minutes after the
literally minutes.
Yeah, at the Academy Stadium in Manchester. I think we're both a bit speechless. I actually had a good feeling without trying to like blow my own trumpet or play, you know, retroactive foresight person. You know, I thought Spurs would get something.
You had a feeling. You had a vibe.
I had a feeling. I did not think they'd win the game, but I thought it could have been 0-0. I thought it could have been 1-1. And I think after that Lauren Hemp goal, so if you didn't see the game, listener, Lauren Hemp scores very early in about 6th minute. She gets a good goal, classic Hempo.
It's terrible defending. She didn't even have to jump to head the ball. And she's, what, like 5'4"? That's bad.
That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is Alex Greenwood's got good techers.
No, you know I love Alex Greenwood. She makes it look easy. You know I'm a huge Alex Greenwood fan. I think she's got unbelievable deliverer of the ball, but very bad defending. We like everyone who's ever listened or done football podcasts, there is a constant debate about zonal marking at corners, and if you get it wrong, you get it very wrong. And Spurs got it very wrong. They had 3 players kind of static, not even moving, that don't react to the ball. Bartrip and Josie Green, completely no communication between them about who's going to pick up Hemp, and she just sort of like flicks it on, doesn't even need to jump. It was really, really poor.
There you go. Good breakdown of a Spurs. And it looked like, you know, it was going to be one of those games. City had all the ball. Spurs were defending a lot. I felt like even early on this one, when Spurs did counterattack, they didn't offer very much. It was sort of, you know, one player, often Jess Naz on the left midfield, kind of coming in and making the run on the counterattack without much support from Rachel Williams or anyone else. That would change, though, listener. About an hour in.
Plot twist.
Rachel Williams with a lot of help from a double substitution. So you got to give Rhianne Skinner some
inspired double substitution.
Yeah, massive looks from Chioma Ubagagu and Kit Graham came on and absolutely changed this game flow. And the second goal had both the substitutes involved in the build-up, with Rachel Williams finding a little bit of space. No one picked her up on the late run from into the box, and she slots away the equaliser. And I think after that moment, you really saw that fear, that anxiety, that apprehension take hold of Man City. And I think they hadn't been terrible in this game. They dominated. Obviously, they're going to have a lot of the ball at home. We know how good their home record has been over the year. But I think you did see a bit of what happened against Real Madrid and this week. And, you know, Gareth Taylor's been in the press talking about how he hasn't had much warm-up for this season, and et cetera, et cetera. And you kind of saw all the players struggle with that moment as everything came together. And then for the last 20 minutes, chaos ensued. And actually, Jess Naz has a massive chance on the counter-attack. We kind of talked about how she didn't get much support in the first half. Rachel Williams joins her for a brilliant counter-attack. She gets a one-on-one, almost gets the second goal for Spurs. And then with 5 minutes left on the clock, Kit Graham, cheeky set piece, back out to Rachel Williams, swings the ball in. And Flo, how would you describe Rosella Ayan's handball deflection assist to...
I think Tim Stillman put it perfectly, which was, I didn't realise slam dunks were allowed, because she literally does kind of like volleyball. Well, I don't know, is it called
spike?
Setting it? Is it spiking or setting it? Yeah. I don't know. Whatever she did it with her hands, and she basically just played it on. It then kind of bounces off Steph Horton's shoulder, then bounces like up into Taib's feet, not her hands, and then sort of comes off her hands and goes into the corner of the goal. It was just a bit of a mess.
It's kind of gutting it was given to Taib on that.
Oh, it went down to Taib on goal. I didn't even see
that.
Oh,
that is gutting. Horton got away with one there.
I do think, though, the fact of the matter is Man City should have been home and dry. And we know this is a bit like people love to talk about Arsenal having a small squad and being plagued with injuries. I think City's narrative, time and time again, is not putting away games. Like, we see them win games 7-1, 4-0 to start the season, but then we also see them have these moments where they cannot score. They create so many opportunities. Becky Spencer had a brilliant game, and they just can't score. I was texting you about how this was just complete deja vu with last season, that second week of the season, 0-0 draw with Brighton, which was a huge result for Brighton. Who knew they were going to go on and push on from that and get a record number of WSL wins and now find themselves at the top of the table? But more on that later, listener. That game at the Majewski, 1-1 with Reading, I think they had something like 22 shots that day. It was absurd. Managed to rescue a point, conceded from a set piece again today, that second goal. It's deja vu, man. Deja vu. Same issues. No matter how much you spend, no matter how much firepower you get into your side, got to be able to stick the ball in the back of the net. And it's becoming a bit of a thing. And then, you know, City will go on and have one of those games where they, you know, put 8 past the team and build that confidence again. But, I mean, what a terrible week after the low of the Champions League, which obviously for a lot of the players that have come in, especially Bunny Shaw, like, the whole point of being here is because you want to play in Europe. And so to get knocked out in the Champions League on a Wednesday night and then lose to Spurs on a Sunday night, whoo, that's bad.
We just talked about how good Rianne Skinner's substitutions were. You know, Kit Graham comes on and seconds later she's involved in the build-up, second week in a row. We've seen how great and effective Kit Graham can be. Good to see her getting back to her best. Rachel Williams as well, a player we thought struggled last year, showing up again.
Yeah, and it's hardly been able to score any goals. I mean, they kept mentioning it on the Sky coverage, but they said 29 matches. So to put that into perspective, it's basically like 2.5 seasons. In the league anyway, I think she didn't score at all last season and didn't really score in the season before, although she didn't make as many appearances. So, yeah, it's been a quiet time, to say the least. So that's great. It's great to see someone like her find some form again.
So, yeah, Rianne's going to get the kind of impact subs there, Flo. Do you put any criticism on Gareth Taylor? Doesn't bring on Jess Park for Janine Becky, fresh legs until they go 1-1. And then you don't see Bunny Shaw until the 73rd minute, taking off Kennedy, kind of putting the kitchen sink on at that point. Do you think there should have been more impetus to get the second goal when it was 1-0 rather than kind of waiting for Spurs to get back in the game?
Yeah, but if I was Gareth Taylor, I understand why he didn't, because you would have looked at how City had played the entire game and thought, well, we're going to score. Like, we're creating enough. Lauren Hemp was brilliant as ever. Like, there's enough opportunities here without really having to make a change. I think, unfortunately for Janine Becky, she was in vintage Janine Becky style where...
Yeah, she looked all right in the first half.
Yeah, but vintage in the sense that she's missing really good chances. The bad kind of vintage.
Well, yeah.
Like a dodgy wine that you've left out by accident that was actually at one point really nice and now it tastes disgusting. That's the vintage Janine Becky that I sometimes fear from her. And yeah, it was just one of those nights. And of course, dodgy officiating plays a massive part in the story of the game and the result. But at the same time, you know, City shouldn't have been in this position in the first place. But you know, that doesn't erase the fact that was a huge handball. Like,
I will eat the spiciest Nando sauce money can buy if there is a jammier, flukier goal than that Rosella Ayan winner tonight. This season, because it really was. I mean, this is the thing, you know, we can criticize City, but it was also the flukiest way to lose. You just don't see bounces like that. Like you said, you don't see referees miss slam dunk handballs like that. So Spurs got lucky, but also City left the back door open.
And City didn't make their own luck, in a sense that they wasted all those opportunities, because it should have been, you know, 5-1 or 5-2, not 2-1.
I think that's given City maybe a bit too much credit, but they definitely put enough.
Maybe not 5, but 3.
And obviously the last thing to say on this game is Esme Morgan. Really bad injury in the first half. Looks like a shin injury. I think that took the wind out of City's sails. They did get off to a good start. They did look composed. Like you said, Spurs looked the more disorganised side. And then Esme Morgan injury, which looks pretty bad. She left the field on a stretcher. I think that kind of capped off the end of a fantastic weekend of results and football and stories, but also... what a weekend for injuries, Flo. We saw Millie Turner dislocate her knee at the King Power today as well, going off in a stretcher. And over in the US, Nadia Nadim has torn her ACL for Racing Louisville. So it's kind of brutal. And yeah, kind of puts a lot of salt on otherwise a great day of football.
Yeah, I really feel for Esme Morgan. She got called up to England this week. She's been called up in the past, but she hasn't ever got a senior cap. She's been capped at like all the age group levels, I think, from like under 17 onwards. And she's been having a really good season so far, having to start because Lucy Bronze has had surgery. And she's good enough to start in the WSL anyway, but obviously being maybe pushed forward a little bit where she would normally might maybe find herself more playing in cup games. And she's been brilliant. So I just really hope it's nothing major. It looked kind of like more like lower shin ankle area rather than knee,
which
I suppose is good because it means hopefully it's not an ACL injury. But yeah, it's just such a crap time because she had a really good chance of getting a cap for England, seeing as Lucy Bronze is out because of the surgery. So it, you know, and England have got some nice qualifying games that she could have built some confidence. So yeah, absolutely gutted for her and just hope that you know she'll be okay.
So just let's quickly kind of round up some of the results from Sunday here, and we'll get to your day out on the ground at King's Meadow, and then we'll kind of unpack these games one by one, or a little bit here and there, depending on what we feel is necessary. So yeah, right before the brilliant Sunday night closer between Man City and Spurs, we had Reading losing 4-0 at home to Arsenal. Arsenal playing very, very well at the moment and getting a lot of new players involved, which I think a lot of Arsenal fans are great to see. Players really stepping up, the legends like Miedemar and Beth Mead really coming into tempo there. So a really good result. I think maybe we'll refrain from criticising Reading too much. Still early, couple of tough games to start the season, but interesting to see what's going on there. Was great to see them back at the Majeski though. Great to also see Birmingham City hosting a game at St Andrews. As good as it was to see them in the nice stadium, the result will not go down well with Birmingham fans or the players. We talked a lot about Birmingham, definitely favourites to get relegation. They got smashed 5-0 at home to Brighton and Hove Albion, which I love to see. Flo, what are you thinking?
I just wanted to dive into this game because...
Okay, let's dive.
Let's dive into this one because Brighton are top of the table. Stop the count. Stop the count. Arcoy Visto Carps, because Brighton are top of the table. And you watched this game. I've watched the highlights. It seems like Brighton were just in their element, playing out from the back, plenty of time on the ball, loving life, and just brilliant.
Well, and that's the thing which is interesting about this game for me, as someone that does spend a lot more time watching Brighton than other teams. Listener, I'm not a Brighton fan, but I'm as close to being a Brighton fan as you can be without being a Brighton fan.
I think in football context, I think you can say you're a stan rather than a fan.
Yeah,
because obviously
exactly.
We know football fan.
I'm an appreciator.
Yeah, a football fan obviously has a very definite context in that you support the team. Like, I don't support Arsenal women, but I stan a lot of their players and their vibe and Tobin Heath. And I stan a lot of players. I stan Lennox Greenwood. I stan a lot, but I'm not necessarily fans of those teams. So I think that's your vibe. You're a Brighton Hove Albion
exactly.
stan. You're a Hope Powell stan.
Hope Powell stan.
You're a Coy Visto exactly. stan. You're a lot of stands.
That's what's funny about the team, and I love them so much because of that, because it feels like they just keep adding people I love. Like, I already was in because of Hope Powell, and then let's talk about Emma Coivisto, who scored a fantastic goal today. What the hell was she doing in the box, Flo? I'm sure you saw the goal. It's like the best centre forward finish you'll see all season, and she's a left back. Like, what is going on there? Daniel Carter, you know, usually we saw her kind of at the number 10 role. We've used to seeing her as a centre forward. She was playing this like wide forward thing, pushing the fullback out to create the overlap for Anessa Kagman. It was just like, you kind of mentioned at the top of this bit, but like, I don't think we're used to seeing Brighton playing out from the back and having this much possession.
Exactly.
And knocking the ball around and having this much fun. That's not necessarily, you know, I made the joke last week, classic Brighton. And for a while, this game kind of did look like classic Brighton. It was 2-0. We had the Kagman penalty. We had a set-piece goal from Victoria Williams. But in the second half, the green light was on and they just went for it. And going back to that Coivisto goal, I mean, what a header. And what was she doing there? And it was just so fun to see everyone getting involved. Daniel Carter looks so much fresher and lighter than she did for Reading last year and looks, you know, in her element. And I don't know, Flo, if you have an opinion, which was the best goal today, but...
Oh, I think it's got to be Carter's sort of inside post curling effort. I think the goalkeeper maybe could have done better. Like, near post is always dodgy as a goalie to concede, but I just love the celebration. I love the finish.
Yeah.
I just loved everything about it.
Well, can I give you some extra sauce on that as
Give me some BTS content.
That's not even her best foot.
Well, so it was a left foot, wasn't it? Yeah, she's not left-footed, left foot. Is she? Yeah.
No, she's right-footed. That's the extra sauce which makes that. To do that on your wrong foot, Danielle Carter, take a bow. And I know you did. as much as I love Carter's goal, I do think Kaylee Green's lob was just...
Yeah, that was nice.
Sumptuous. I mean, this is what I mean. Like, Brighton were fun and heartfelt and, like, you know, had all the great makings for a great team. But today it was just champagne football. And Kelly Green's lob.
I mean, we know Birmingham are going to have a really difficult season. Shout out Craig Hadley. But it's obviously just such a kick in the teeth when you have to kind of, like, see yourself get beaten by one of the sides that doesn't score a lot of goals. I mean, this must be by far.
Yeah.
This is definitely their biggest ever victory in the WSL, without doubt.
Correct.
And yeah, I mean, you did Birmingham create anything? Because I only watched the highlights, so obviously I don't know.
I think actually Birmingham were all right in the first half. They obviously completely came apart in the second half, but there was a moment actually right before the third goal, right before Dan Carter went and scored, where Lucy Quinn, you know, who was probably going to be the shining light for them all year, had this great ball that came across, and you didn't look like Megan Walsh quite knew what to do with it. And if, you know, a Birmingham player had gotten the end of it, it could have been a goal and it could have maybe changed things. They were obviously already 2-0 down. I think when Inessa Kagman scores the penalty, I think this game was over. But there was a moment right before the third goal where you thought Birmingham were going to get back into it. And then obviously Brighton went off. But I wouldn't say Birmingham were terrible. I would just say they can't really beat teams who score two goals on them. They're going to need 0-0s. They're going to need 1-1s. They're going to need to win games 1-0. And so to give up an early goal to a corner like that, I think the writing was on the wall from there. But again, the penalty was kind of the real nail in the coffin, and the second half was off, was really, really off for Birmingham. But they weren't terrible in the first half, I'll say that.
Okay, well, maybe there's some positive to take. But yeah, like we said, they're gonna struggle this season, but hopefully there's some more opportunities for them to pick up points. Another or two sides actually that I think will also be struggling this season, West Ham and Aston Villa.
Let's jump, the Saturday jump around, morning, go to that. 1-1.
The Saturday morning early game. So this new kind of experience for us in the UK of 11:30 a.m. football. Still not as bad as the 9 a.m. NWSL Championship game. We're not that mad yet. But 11:30 a.m, I understand the reasoning behind it, because you've got 12:30 p.m. Premier League kickoffs that are either on Sky or BT. So I get you want to have your own little window. But 11:30, like, I'm still doing my morning thing. I'm still getting myself ready for the game I'm covering. I'm still, you know, having a shower, having some coffee. You know, if you've got kids, you might be taking your kids to football or some Saturday sport. You might be going to the gym. You might be doing your own thing, honestly. You might be playing football yourself on a Saturday morning. So I'm just not sure about this 11:30 kickoff vibe. Interested to see what the viewing figures are come the end of the season. The game. West Ham did not win a home game last season. Good turnout of fans yesterday, making a good bit of noise. Adriana Leon, another player who has vintage for being extremely inconsistent and missing opportunities, got West Ham off to a good start. It kind of really just came from an Anita Asante mistake. And Asante has really not had a great time at Aston Villa.
I'm going to refute that. I mentioned this last week. I think she actually plays much better in midfield. I feel like I'm banging an old drum, and I think you saw her lack of pace caught her out playing when she does play as a centre-back and you can play the ball behind her. So, I don't know. I actually think Anita's look great in bits for Aston Villa, and just it wasn't quite her day yesterday, obviously. And I think tactically West Ham deserve credit for playing to her weakness there.
Yeah, so the ball sort of came back to her, and it was more just like a horrible accident in the sense that, like, the ball bobbled underneath, like right underneath her boot, it almost looked like, so she couldn't get control. It's almost like she tripped over the ball, and as she was tripping over the ball to get her balance to get onto the right side of it, it then fell directly into the path of West Ham, and then Leon basically just had like a tap in. But in pure Carla Ward, Aston Villa style, yes. Remy Allen, yes, who is obviously going to be huge for them this season, was at Leicester last season, massive experience in the WSL. She's just going to be heroic for them this season, and she clawed back a point. I would say West Ham should have been 2-1 up. Daphne Brun-Njorsdottir should have scored a goal, and she'll be frustrated that she didn't score this header that basically went directly into the arms of Hannah Hampton. It was such a good chance. She had loads of space and time, and she literally just headed it straight to her. So it kind of feels like classic West Ham in that sense, and a little bit of classic Villa too, because Villa are just a bit all over the place at the back, and I think Hannah Hampton is struggling to bed into that side because we know she's a really good goalie, but she made some errors yesterday. She looked quite nervous, so I'm waiting to see her get back up to that level that we know she can be at. But yeah, two sides I think are going to be in and around it with Birmingham, but Carla Ward, you know, they're unbeaten, Villa, and start getting 4 points off the bat, you know, it gives you some comfort. Huge. Because think about Bristol City didn't even have any points for a large stretch of the first chunk of the season before Matt Beard came in and managed to get them their first win. So
Spurs went 7 games without a win last year. Anyway, you got to have a laugh. Yeah, so Flo, I actually didn't watch this one. I'd be lying, it was too early for me in the Atlantic. But what I will say is what stood out to me, and I actually woke up just as Remy Allen was scoring that equaliser.
Ding, ding, your alarm. Allen!
It really was a Remy Allen alarm. And thank you, Carla Ward, for waking me up with that. What I was going to say is what stuck out to me was 55% possession for Aston Villa. You know, this feels like...
They really grew into the game. It was like a bit deer in the headlights at the start, but then they did grow into the game a lot, and Maz Pacheco looked really good.
Well, and I think that's a detriment, in my opinion, to West Ham. This is a team... Carla Ward has never had that much possession as a WSL manager before. Obviously, the resources and her style and the team and how she wants to get points plays a big factor in that. But in my head, this was West Ham not taking advantage of their advantage and letting Villa back into the game, letting Villa have too much of the ball, maybe letting Villa have the tempo. Is that true to say, Flo? Like I said, I didn't watch the game, so I don't want to speak out my arse. But would you say that was true? It was kind of West Ham's fault for letting them back in the game?
100%. 100%. West Ham were on top for the first, like, half an hour or so. And, yeah, Hannah Hampton made a couple of errors. Adrienne Leon had a really good chance before she got her goal. Yeah, West Ham could have been a couple of goals in front. Villa were all over the place, and they needed to take advantage of that. Bryn Doris-Dotter's chance actually came in the second half, that header, but there were lots of chances in the first half where West Ham were just really on top and didn't make the most of it. And I feel that that is like kind of classic West Ham. But yeah, that Ward fighting spirit, which we know and love, just shines through. So that was Saturday morning. Then
Back to Sunday. Let's pop over to the King Power and then I'll let you have King.
Yeah, you take us over to Leicester.
So yeah, this was a really, really good game of football, and obviously I think, but Leicester were good, and I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they go from, oh, Leicester were good, they're really taken to the WSL, but they got 0 points, versus, oh, Leicester are good, and they actually did something in the game. So I think it's going to be kind of an interesting mix of that. I think sometimes when you give a losing team too much credit, especially the coaches and the players, they won't really be too happy with that, because these players, you know, they're striving for success, they're striving for points, so getting positives out of a 3-1 loss isn't always like something they're going to be into. But I do think Leicester deserve a lot of credit. They pressed Manchester United really well. They were happy not to have the ball. Their shape was really great. I think, you know, Morgan's done such a great job there with the players he has. And obviously they get the goal, and ex-Man United player Abby McManus scoring it to make it 2-1 and kind of give them a little bit of hope. And then Martha Thomas, your fave Flo, she gets her first goal as a Manchester United player, which was good to see. And that third goal kind of killed the game off. But even, I think it was at 3-1, there was a fantastic clear off the line by Plumptre at the end, and I think that the fight, the pace, the movement, the shape from Leicester was all really good. It's going to be interesting to see how much they can play against quality teams, quality players, and I think you saw that with Ella Toon's opening goal around the half hour mark was just an absolute stonker, just a beautiful finish.
I love Ella Toon, like my love just grows by the week. Like, she's just so free, and she just has that, yeah, she has no fear. And what I find really interesting about football in general is when players lose that fear, it almost comes from an injury, or it just comes from age, or there just seems a moment where players hit a certain point and they lose that fearlessness. And I just wish there was a way we could kind of like bottle it up and keep it in young players, because Ella Toon just has bags of that right now. Lauren James at her best and fittest has that in spades. Like, there's so many players you're like, wow, like they're just, Lauren Hemp right now, like they're just so brave on the ball, they want to make shit happen. And I just hope that she keeps doing that, and boy, is she going to have a big season. Oh, like, what a goal. And just to be like, you know what, I'm having a shot. like, I'm doing it. And yet again, just really impressed with Man United. Torres Torta scoring a goal, that back line.
Torres Torta, just to interrupt, coming off the bench to replace Millie Turner after she dislocated her knee, I think deserves extra credit, because she came in, and you think sometimes, you know, we just talked about Esme Morgan's injury destabilising Man City. Torres Torta came in and gave Man United some calm, some composure, and they passed the ball really beautifully in this game, Manchester United. I think that was one of the biggest surprises for me. I don't think we've seen that a lot from Casey Stoney's Manchester United, playing out the back, playing it patiently, and yeah, like you said, it was interesting to see that from a Mark Skinner team. I don't quite want to go all in on super positive yet.
No, not me either. But I've been pleasantly surprised, and I think
pleasantly surprised is a good way of saying it.
I think, given a very chaotic summer where I think a lot of us thought they might fall off a cliff in their progress, I've been pleasantly surprised on the recruitment and how they've bedded together fairly quickly. And I think they've been very smart with their recruitment, whereas maybe in the past it was more about bigger players, bigger names.
Yeah, well, and I think Ella Toon, even being this kind of false nine attacker at the front of this team, is doing a really good job of making the most with the talent that she has without necessarily a big name demanding a starring role as a centre forward. And I think what's really cool as well is Martha Thomas and Alessia Russo coming off the bench and being able to play as a different type of forward. And so you're seeing Manchester United have a few gears, and that's maybe something we didn't see from Man City today. So yeah, the first signs there are really exciting.
Should we go over to King's Meadow?
Yeah, take me through it, Flo. So you were there.
I was there. It was really hot. It wasn't sold out, but it was good numbers. I think they had about 2,700 in the end. And yeah, no, it was good atmosphere. It's always good atmosphere there. And yeah, Chelsea were ruthless, even though they probably could have, they weren't ruthless enough for Emma Hayes' liking. And they did have 27 shots. So actually, you know, they could have scored a lot more. Benilla Harder hit the post.
Creative, maybe, rather than ruthless.
Yeah. That's probably a better way to put it. Erin Cuthbert continued her emphatic start to the season. The press and the aggressiveness that was really led by Cuthbert, actually, just wanting to win the ball back, seeing the signs of weakness in Everton's back line. The back three that Willie Kirk stuck with, Megan Finnegan had what must be one of the worst performances of her career. She was extremely nervous and like in the first half, even before she made the mistake at the start of the second half of playing the ball right into the path of Sam Kerr. Yeah, it was a bad day at the office for most of Everton's defence. Natalie Bjorn is looking like she's not settling in very well. Gabby George.
I was just going to say, nice to get Gabby George back, but I assume she probably struggled a little bit.
Yeah, the defence is not working. I don't know if it's inexperience. I mean, three of the sort of, I guess, back five as it ended up in are academy players. So they've played with each other a very long time, but perhaps they're not quite at the level that a team like Everton, with where they want to be, need them to be. You know, if they're pushing, Willie Kirk was saying that at the start of the season, this group wanted to be pushing for top three. That defence is not top three, nowhere near good enough for top three. And I don't see how that's going to change unless they do something fairly drastic. It was slightly awkward as well because when the fourth goal went in, so that was like a tap-in for Beth England, one of Everton women's board tweeted, unacceptable. He since deleted it. And ooh, Susie Rack actually asked Willie Kirk about it, and he sort of said, you know, well, we know that's not acceptable, and you know that this performance doesn't reflect where we are as a group. But obviously there is pressure because he's received a lot of investment, a lot of backing from the board, and yes, they've had a hard start to the season in terms of having to play two of the best teams in the league off the bat, but conceding 8 goals in 2 games and the manner of the goals they've conceded. I thought Tony Duggan looked good when she came on. She didn't start today. Neither did Kenta Dali. It was a bit more of a defensive, I suppose, approach to the game. But yeah, Everton looked so much better when they had a bit more time on the ball and Duggan was on the pitch. But they just, any single time that they got on the ball, Chelsea would just press, turn over and create something from it. Guro Wrighton was really good in a left wing back role today. And yeah, just Chelsea back to their best. Front three, Kirby, Kerr, Harder, what we know and love. So dangerous. Just, yeah, elite Chelsea stuff. And yeah, poor from Everton. And I guess their season starts after the international break. That's maybe when we truly get to see like what they can do.
Kind of two questions, one for either side of the ball here, really, for both teams. Hannah Bennison, first start for Everton. We've heard so much about her, you know, meant to be one of the best players in the world, kind of for the next generation. How was it seeing her in the flesh? And, you know, do you think it could be a big season for her looking ahead?
I mean, yeah, I'm someone who's definitely on the Hannah Bennison hype train. She came on last week against City, but obviously, you know, she came on at half time, and Everton did look better, actually, to be fair, after half time. But, you know, we didn't really get to see much of what she can do. And kind of similarly today, I felt like, you know, there just wasn't enough of the ball to be had for her to really play a role. I think Gali had a poor game as well. She lost the ball on the edge of her box a few times. She looked like she was struggling to hold on to the ball. She didn't look comfortable with the ball, and that's kind of not what you expect from a player like her. Bennison was getting pushed back so deep. She just didn't get enough of an opportunity to, in the first half, to kind of impose herself in the game. But I think in the second half, when they made a few changes, Tony Duggan came on, Kenza Dali came on, and Valerie Govan came on, Bennison was kind of working those gaps in midfield a little bit more in transition, because Everton were getting a bit more of the ball. But in the first half, it's like no one could really do anything because they barely touched the ball. Chelsea were above 60% possession from like the fifth minute onwards, and it was kind of just like, oh right, well this is the way the game's going to be then.
Well, my second question then on the Chelsea side of things is Fran Kirby, phenomenal goal today. Sam Kerr up to her old tricks. Last season was record-breaking for them, and I didn't think we'd ever see numbers like that because they were that good last season. Could we see them replicate the extraordinary performance level they had last year?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I think Sam Kerr is going to take longer for her to get up to speed, because even though she got two goals today, one of them was just like, you know, a super easy, like, Finnegan played it into her. So she'll probably be the easiest goal she'll score this season. And the other one was a kind of quintessential Sam Kerr header, but I still don't think she's looking back at her best. I still think she's not fully fit yet. She's not as sharp as we know she can be, but the fact that she's scoring two goals and not being on her best game shows how much more is still to come. I think Kirby is probably someone who could have an even bigger season, because from minute one she just looked unreal. Like the way that she can hold up the ball under pressure and turn players is just so good. And I'm really excited for the season she can have, and also for the Euros next summer, because if she continues this form and the way she's growing into becoming like one of the best players in the world, it's just so exciting. So I really enjoyed watching Kirby today. She just looks so comfortable and confident on the ball. And the goal that she scored, where she kind of receives it on her left foot, turns the defender, cuts inside on her right and curls it in, was just chef's kiss.
Anything else on the FAW side before I just do a quick roundup of the championship?
Did we do the Arsenal game?
We didn't, but I, to be totally honest, switched this one off after half an hour. Fantastic opening goal from Jem Beattie. Love to see it. And then Miedemar and Beth Mead just make it look so easy the way they're scoring right now. So I don't really have much to add beyond Arsenal look rejuvenated, smooth, fearsome, you know, really exciting. Reading a bit like Everton. I'm kind of giving them the 2 weeks off. Let's see what you're like in a few weeks. That's kind of all I have to say on that one, Flo. Like I said, I watched a bit of it, but if I'm being totally honest, listener, you know, I knew what was going to happen. I knew Arsenal were gonna look good, and I'm excited to give them maybe more of a microscope another time.
Yeah, and still no sign of Tash Dowie yet. We're all obviously waiting with bated breath, and I think Kelly Chambers said that she thought that she was going to be fit for this game. We didn't yet see her. She wasn't on the bench, as far as I can see, either. Justine Van Havermaet did come on, someone who I've looked at a few clips of and gives me an Ellen White vibe. We'll wait to see if that happens. But yeah, I think it's always tough against Arsenal. And the form that Vivian Miedema's in, shout out, reaching 100 goals in 110 games. And scoring,
101 now.
101, yeah, scoring again today. Scoring two today, so 102.
102, yeah.
In 111 games. And Beth Mead. You know, she might be Margaret Thatcher's biggest fan, but boy, she can score and assist. So,
well, and Manu Iwabuchi didn't start today, and neither did Tobin Heath. So, you got to think this Arsenal team, almost the antithesis of what we said about City, they have world-class players to come back in, and to think what they could do if they're playing like this under Edible. Yeah, it's exciting.
Bit of champ action.
Yeah, a bit of champ. Obviously, this was a big one for the championship. It's the maternity Matt Beard Derby, Liverpool versus Bristol City. Yeah, this was an exciting one. Big shout out to the Vixen podcast, Bristol City Women's podcast. Great people over there doing really good work. And I feel like it's, especially now, you know, Bristol City do get pushed out a little bit more out of the limelight. They're such a great follow to keep you involved with what's kind of going on in the ground there. You know, and Bristol have had some really good results to start this season. Last week in particular, I guess, being the good result. Some amazing goals they scored last week. So this was kind of coming into this one, neither Liverpool nor Bristol had looked perfect. And so it finished 0-0. Two red cards, though. Right at the death there for Bristol, their red card. But I think, you know, Flo, without, you know, knowing these teams too well, we don't get to watch them as much as we like. This game wasn't live on FA Player. Blackburn versus Watford was. Do you think this result is better for Liverpool or better for Bristol? 0-0?
I think it's not
Liverpool,
it's not,
at home.
It's not great for Liverpool. I think Matt Beard got the first. They got the first win last week, so that's good because they lost on the opening day of the season. So, Lunsey at Lionesses, I think, ran a Jarrett penalty, wasn't it? So they're up and running, but they've got to get promotion. They've got to turn something around because I think otherwise they're going to linger in the championship for a fairly long time, and I think Matt Beard's a brilliant manager, and they've got a decent squad as well. So I think, you know, there's a long season ahead. We're only a few games in, and they didn't lose, so it's a plus. But I think Bristol City are one of the better teams because they are going to be full time, and they've got a decent squad as well. But I think Liverpool have got to start pushing on and challenging properly for promotion now.
Yeah, I think the big winners this weekend were Chef U, a team in the summer I tipped to go up this year, although the championship is looking really tight, a lot of quality coming through, so it's really hard to say if one team is going to run away with it like last year. But they got a 3-0 win away to Coventry, which is huge. And Lewis, who missed the first game of the season due to COVID, I believe, they got their first win today against a perfect until today London City Lionesses. Imi Umutong has been arguably one of the best players of 2021, I would say, signed in January for Lewis, can't put a foot wrong, scores again today.
Yeah, she's living her best life at Lewis.
Ex-Brighton, yeah. Yeah, no, great for Imi, great for their scouting network, really cool to see there. Sunderland, who had also been perfect in the championship, get a 1-1 draw away to Palace, kind of notable. And the Golden Girls, who I also like the look of this season, continue their struggles, losing their third game on the bounce to Blackburn Rovers. That was on FA Player a little bit, so a great free kick in that one. But yeah, as kind of as you were with Sheffield and Blackburn and Durham near the top, Sunderland is atop of the table with 7 points, the only undefeated team. That's maybe a bit more of a surprise, but it looks like the championship's going to be really interesting. And yeah, Matt Pitts, Liverpool currently in eighth. Obviously only three games, but definitely a bit of an eyesore. Flo, any other business?
Don't think I've got any other business. Rachel Daly smashing more records for the Houston Dash. She's now I'm confused. She was the club.
Any questions?
She was the club's record goal scorer, and now she's got a new record.
So she was already all competitions.
Right, and now she's the NWSL record goal scorer.
Exactly. Right. So it's kind of a league versus. So you've got Challenge Cup goals. Just Challenge Cup, I think, is the only other thing she scored in. So I was about to say Challenge Cup goals and blank cup goals, but she didn't score in the International Women's Cup. So,
And she'll be linking up with the England squad. Serena Wiegmans announced her first England squad. I really like the vibe. I like the fact that she's brought in some old names, some new names, some experience, some youth. And I think it's really important when a new manager comes in to sort of give everyone a chance to impress. And I think that's what she's done. You know, some players I probably wouldn't have called up, Lucy Staniforth being one of them. Not sure if she's...
Yeah, that one jumped out to me. I thought that was a cool pick, especially she's been playing well. But yeah, interesting, kind of not necessarily part of the next gen.
Yeah, well, it's more that I don't know if we've kind of seen enough of her over the sort of last 9 months because she was injured for a chunk of last season. And yeah, I don't think we've seen her at her best ever since she got to Man U because it took her a while to even get to her debut because of injury, and then she got injured again. So it's just been a bit stop-start for her. But I thought, you know, interesting pick. I think there's a nice blend of experience there. And I think it's really important to have competition. We haven't had competition for places in England for the England squad for so long for that starting lineup. So I want to see people fighting for their places again and the people that deserve to be on the pitch and the best group to be playing. So I'm very excited for the Serena Wiegmann era to begin. On Friday night, baby, under the lights, St. Mary's, let's go.
Against huge opposition in North Macedonia, let's go. That sounds a bit harsh, actually. yeah, I think Leah Williamson in midfield as well is a bit of a wrinkle that deserves a bit of attention. Going to be interesting to see what happens there. Listed as a midfielder, obviously Rachel Daly listed as a defender, of course. Where else would she play? And Ebony Salmon.
Record goal scorer needs to play at right back, of course.
Or left back, you never know.
You never know.
Ebony Salmon as well for the NWSL, the legend that is having a great season over there, is back in the England squad as well, which we love to see. So I do think it is an exciting one, and it'll be interesting to see how Wiegmann sets up. Three at the back, wing backs, who knows? Friday night, we'll find out. There you have it. Flo, what are you going to do with the rest of your evening?
I bought Sally Rooney's new book because I'm a basic bitch. I might get stuck into that. I've got a lot of prep to do. I've got an EFL podcast tomorrow. I'm interviewing Tanny Gray Thompson in the morning. And then I've got TalkSport women's football show in the evening. So Mondays are a big one for me. So I think maybe I should take this opportunity to chillax. It was your birthday yesterday. I didn't even ask you how your birthday went, what you did for your birthday.
I did very little. It's been it's been a tough 18 months, been a tough 2 weeks. So I kind of just kicked back and watched some football and went for a walk and went for a bike ride. It was very kind of low key, very low key.
Nice. I like it.
So yeah, enjoy Sally Rooney's book. I've ordered one from the library. Hopefully get to read it soon. And until then, yeah, follow us at Relatively Foot on Twitter, Relatively Football on Instagram, Floyd Tweet, at Theodore_LH. We try to be funny, we try to be insightful, we try to be nice, try to be inclusive. Let us know, send us your thoughts, and have a good evening. Congratulations, Tottenham Hotspur. What a night.